Good afternoon. Welcome to the April 3rd, 2017 edition of the Senate Committee on Rules. Our chair is temporarily delayed doing legislative duties elsewhere. We're going to proceed through the agenda. We'll start with a public hearing and work session on SCR 13. And this is the SCR that recognizes Jason Westland for exemplary service in assisting wounded accident victims. So do we have anybody here to testify on this bill?
Senator Gelsert was going to start.
Senator Gelsert, would you come forward, please?
See, we told you we couldn't help you.
But they got the important people in. We got the important people in. So now,
well, as long as the important people are here, it's good. Chair Farioli, Senator Boquist, Senator Roblin, for your record, my name is Sarah Gelser. I'm the state senator from Senate District 8, which includes Corvallis, Philomath, Albany, and the surrounding areas. It is great to be here today to talk about something that could have gone terribly wrong that ended up going right because of the right people in the right place at the right time to avoid a tragic situation. On August 2nd of 2016, less than a year ago, Riley Russell was driving on Highway 20 just west of Philomath and ended up getting into a pretty awful car crash that actually involved a fatality for another driver on that day. Jason Westland, who is an Army medic, happened to come by at that time. He stopped. He got out of his car. He went and he checked on Riley and found him pinned and trapped in the car. And while he was there, the car caught on fire. And while everybody else fled, Jason stayed with Riley. Jason called for a fire extinguisher, and actually another Good Samaritan, an elderly Good Samaritan, brought along a fire extinguisher so that Jason was able to put the fire out. And after that, Jason refused to leave Riley. He stayed with him. He held his hand. And as his condition continued to worsen, recognizing the direness of the situation, he was able to make a telephone call and indicate that a helicopter would be needed in order to serve Riley. So Riley was taken by helicopter to the hospital, where he underwent a number of surgeries. And not content to just leave it with doing this excellent work on the side of the road, putting himself in danger, he actually traveled to the hospital. Jason went to meet with Riley, and he provided him with one of his service patches as well. So it was last fall when I received a letter from Riley's family asking that we as the legislature bestow the honor of a concurrent resolution upon Mr. Westland to recognize his service and his kindness. And I was really eager to do so because there are so many places every day where people have the opportunity to step up. And in a world where we talk about the things that don't go quite the way that we want to, this really is an example of that generosity of spirit, of putting skills and gifts to work to really help a stranger, because all of our strangers are our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters and our friends. And that is what Mr. Westland showed us and what Riley and his family showed us by returning the kindness through this message of gratitude to Mr. Westland. So I commend Mr. Westland to you, and also urge, of course, your support of SCR 13. Riley and Mr. Westland are both here today, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
We have quite a delegation from Crook County here today, Tracy Lane, Dave Lane, and Riley Russell. Could you come forward? I'm sorry, it's Dan Lane. Hello. And would you just say your name before you begin your testimony? And you may start in any order.
Yeah, I'm Riley.
Riley, and your last name is?
Russell.
Welcome, Riley. You have quite a story to tell.
Yeah.
Please do.
So it was August 2nd. I was heading to my girlfriend's house, and I was just driving along, and I mean, everything went blank for a while, and then next thing I woke up, and I was in Portland. And I was like a week later, I was in a coma and went through 8 different surgeries and had to do a bunch of physical therapy just to get to where I could walk. And probably an ongoing thing for a while.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Ma'am?
Tracy Lane.
Go ahead. Anything you'd care to add?
It's been a long road, and he has a long road to go, but we contribute all that to being Jason stopping and helping him. If it wasn't for Jason being there, Riley will graduate in June. He's a senior this year. And so we will be celebrating him graduating high school. And we get to share him a little bit longer.
You bet. Dan?
Dan Lane. We received a phone call at the house, and when the phone rang, we answered it and see if Riley was in an accident, and he lost all vitals and was unconscious, and the phone went dead. And that's pretty scary when you're in Central Oregon and your kid is in the valley. And by the time we made phone calls, they had already left. They flew a life flight them to Corvallis, and they had their life flight them again to Portland. And it was a little over 2 months back and forth every day for Tracy. And then me on the weekend is at work to go visit them and watch a good speedy recovery. And he's getting there. He's got to get shattered all of his teeth, and they haven't fixed all of his lower teeth. He's got a plate of about 25 screws in his jaw holding it together.
Sounds like quite a wreck. Questions? Open the committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you for testifying.
I'd like to bring up Shelby Hagman and Jason Westland. I'd like to start with Shelby. For the record, yes, thank you.
I'm Shelby Hagman. I'm Riley's girlfriend, so he was headed to my house, and he never showed up, and so I knew something was wrong, and I actually went and found him, and he was just leaving in a helicopter when I had gotten there. And so my stepdad actually picked me up because he didn't want me driving, and we went to Corvallis, and then that's where I met Jason. He was waiting for me, and we were at Corvallis for like an hour, and then went to Portland, and we spent quite a long time in Portland, and now luckily he's still here and doing really good.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. It's a great story. Mr. Westland, people are saying awful nice things about you. Would you care to make a comment? And
yes, sir. Thank you. My name is Jason Westland. Thank you for giving me a chance to be here today. I wanted to take an opportunity to, give a shout-out to all the first responders and EMS personnel, fire and law enforcement that arrived on the scene. It was kind of in a dead zone area. It felt like an eternity for the first sirens that I heard. But once the units started arriving, I know there was a trio of medics from Eddyville Fire District. There was a Philomath police officer, several Benton County sheriffs, a fire engine from Philomath, and then later, of course, the life flight nurses. All of them reflected extremely well on their agencies. Their professionalism and their proficiency was really the most important factor that day, I think. I was a medic in the Army for 3 years, including a tour in Iraq as a medevac medic. So I've seen similar scenes to this before, and I'm proud to say that I'm in the best recognized best medevac unit in the entire United States Army right here in Salem, Oregon. So I also know what true proficiency and professionalism in this business, I suppose, I know what that looks like, and I saw a lot of it that day. The firefighters brought their hydraulic gear to tin can the pickup. Went smoothly and perfectly. The paramedic was there instantly to start an IV and begin treatment. Removing Riley from the vehicle and getting him on a backboard was faster than I've ever seen it done, and it was amazing. I just can't say enough good things about the first responders of the community. And speaking of community, the other thing I wanted to shout out to, I suppose, is the way the local community came together for Riley's family and for him. They had fundraising efforts to help offset medical bills. People were checking in on the family, just the way everyone came together. A number of them found me on Facebook afterwards. And just watching that happen, everyone come together around a community member in need, it was incredible to see, and it made me really proud. I'm originally from Corrales. Made me really proud to be an Oregonian and to be from that area. And then the last thing I wanted to say is I have a lot of the experience to handle a situation like that, but I was driving my wife's car and I had no equipment. So it really, I consider myself to be a prepared individual, but it really drove the point home that I was not. And I feel like that was an oversight on my part, so I want to encourage yourselves and anyone listening to make sure you have necessary emergency supplies in your vehicle. It can make a huge difference, especially a fire extinguisher, because I didn't have one of those. There were lines of traffic in either direction, and someone had to come from 20 cars away to bring us a fire extinguisher. And if that hadn't arrived, it could have been a very different outcome. So, again, wonderful first responders in this state, an amazing community out there. Be prepared to help when you can, if you get the chance, and be excellent to each other. Thank you.
Questions for, yes, Senator?
So you have an A-bag in all the cars now, right?
I absolutely do, Senator, I absolutely do. I have a couple of the older school combat lifesaver bags that are fully stocked, two-spec, with the good stuff.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. And you always got to check it. I mean, just yesterday, I went to change the set of tires, I don't know, 3 days late, and the back window of the truck was left open, and my aid bag was sitting in the back in a pool of water. So as you know, that $250 aid bag is now mush, yep. And I don't have one now, so thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So those, yes, Senator?
I was just going to say, I appreciate you taking the time and doing what you did. I also, it's really interesting because we had another Bill Hill from the same group of people, Eddyville, the volunteer fire department out of Eddyville and Toledo, brought a bill that says everybody needs to be prepared for whatever the next event is, because when you get an earthquake and they can't go one way or the other way, they're just there. And where are we going to house these people who are caught on our road out in the middle of nowhere, which is the issue? And I think some of these different events, if we can learn from them, can be really helpful for people in the long run in a whole lot of different areas. So,
absolutely.
There's thank you.
Fire extinguisher in all of my vehicles and my parents' vehicles now.
Would you care to comment on the 5 golden minutes?
Yes, sir, I will. So in the first responding world, there's they talk about the golden hour is the first hour after trauma is the most critical to the survival and the outcome of that patient. What I believe the senator is referring to is, we used to call it like the platinum 5 minutes, is the initial actions immediately have the largest impact on the outcome. In this case, we were really close to the end of that golden hour by the time they were actually extracting Riley and getting to the helicopter. And as was mentioned before, his situation was deteriorating. It was not looking very good for a while. If everyone has, you know, equipment that they're familiar with and basic safety, first aid, things like that, we can sort of increase that window of those platinum 5 minutes. The sooner you can get any sort of aid, the much greater chances there's going to be a positive outcome.
And in this case, it's pretty evident that it all hinged on the availability of a fire extinguisher.
I think it did. The fire started and people started to scatter because in Hollywood, cars explode. But they don't really do that, but they do burn very quickly. My brother, unfortunately, witnessed an accident where there was no fire extinguisher. The vehicle started to burn, and the person didn't survive because there was no way to fight the fire and no way to render aid through the burning vehicle. So I truly believe that if that man had not had a fire extinguisher, if he'd been too far away to hear, it would have gone very differently.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee? Hearing none. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We're ready to go to work session on SCR 15, Madam Chair.
Marvelous. 13. You just keep going.
Okay.
I've never seen the audience looking so engaged and happy. I just, what have you done?
Let's open a work session on SCR 13. I'll accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move SCR 13 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Beyer moves SCR 13 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any questions?
Remarkable.
Any objections? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. We have a carrier. Senator, will you carry? We have our carrier, and that concludes our work on SCR 13. Close the work session and the public hearing. And I'll pass the gavel to the chair.
No, I think you ought to just keep
going. No, that's all right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I tried. Okay.
Sure, right. You won't give it to me when I really want it.
Okay, so this one next.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll open a public hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution 22.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Concurrent Resolution 22 recognizes and expresses appreciation for photojournalist Gary Bratch's dedication to the issue of climate change and his life's work on behalf of the planet. There are no amendments and no fiscal or revenue impact associated with this measure.
Okay, we have Cedar Brash.
Yeah.
Oh, and Senator Steiner Hayward, I didn't see you. You snuck in. Please do come in.
Cedar, go for it first. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, State Senator from District 17, where Mr. Brash resided. I'm just so honored to have the opportunity to introduce this resolution on behalf of Mr. Brash and to remember the important contributions he made. As some of you may know, I'm a middling serious amateur photographer myself, and one of the reasons I am is because of work of photojournalists like Mr. Brash. I think we can all attest to powerful images that have shaped our understanding of the world around us, and whether that's the beauty of our natural environment as portrayed by Ansel Adams, or the horrors of war as portrayed by many others, or the impacts of climate change as portrayed by Mr. Brash. These are the things that help us understand the world around us and give us a different impact than written words can have, and they provide an important contribution to understanding. So it's a real honor to have the opportunity to recognize the contributions of Mr. Brash to our understanding of the world and the impact of climate change on our community. I'm going to let his family describe it in more detail, but I just wanted to come and take the opportunity to talk about why this memorial resolution in particular holds personal meaning for me, and thank the committee so much for hearing the bill.
Thank you. Really
appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Brash.
For the record, I'm Cedar Brash, the son of Gary Brash, and for me, I always knew that my father's work was very important as a photojournalist, but also as an artist, and really what I think he tried to convey the most with his climate project was to really help people understand the data that science was putting forward. Really for him, it started with the eruption of Mount St. Helens, and that's really what got him kickstarted into professional photography, but it was returning to Mount St. Helens and seeing the regrowth of wildflowers and really the natural world taking back over the mountain after such devastation that got him into the idea of repeat photography. So basically I'm here today to tell you I'm very proud of my father's work. Joan Rothlin has been working very hard with us to put on an exhibition in Washington, D.C. at the Woodrow Wilson exhibit that's currently up, and I'll let her speak a little bit more about that. But, you know, for me, I grew up in an Oregon coastal community of Manzanita, which was recently, you know, is seeing the effects of climate change due to sea level rise and, you know, other strange phenomenon in the weather, like tornadoes and things like that. And, you know, the state really, as a coastal state, does have a lot of responsibility to these coastal communities to ensure that their first response is top-notch as we see more erosion on the beaches and things like that due to sea level rise. And also, you know, here in Salem, the work that's being done to cap carbon emissions is very vital to this fight, and so that we can all keep breathing. I did bring a couple images with me today to just present to the committee. One is of my father, taken by Joan Rothlin, and then.
Because you need to be at the microphone.
Oh, yeah. So one is just a portrait of my father, and then the other is my father's first trip to the Antarctic, which he did, I believe, with the National Science Foundation. And in that image, they are taking core samples of mud underneath the ocean surface there. But his book, Earth Under Fire, through University of California Press, really became kind of the staple textbook for how our climate is changing. And he worked very closely with Al Gore through those early years of illiteracy and denial on the subject. But the goal for my dad, Gary, was always to end climate illiteracy. But thank you, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions for the panel? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Next, we'll have Joan Rothine and Ann Nelson.
I didn't prepare any words in writing. My name is Joan Rothline. I live in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. Thank you so much for this opportunity to commemorate Gary's great achievements and accomplishments, documenting the beauty of the natural world and the alarming concern about climate change. I met Gary in 2008, the year that the book, Earth Under Fire, came out. It's a remarkable book. He wrote it. He took all the pictures. It's an incredible, valuable educational tool to document what he had been observing ever since he started working on the project in 1999. After I met Gary, we became friends. We became much more than friends. We were beloveds. And for the last 8 years, I've worked with him on his project, Worldview of Global Warming. The project took him all around the world, all continents, 26 countries, documenting what the scientists were measuring and observing, and working with them in the field to try and give a visual image to climate change. I would say that he was probably the first photojournalist to make climate change visible. The images have been very important to illustrate the concerns that we have for people that don't necessarily understand graphs and numbers and statistics. It's just a wonderful thing. If he was here, he would be so pleased and so honored for a recognition for all of his accomplishments and for all of his great achievements through his lifetime. He started photographing in Oregon in 1973 when he first arrived here, and he's always been involved in photographing the natural world, protecting the natural world, concerned about conservation, concerned about the critters that are living on our planet. I think I'll just end with, I just want to thank you. It's a great loss. He'll be sorely missed by people all around the planet. His work, there's no other work like his. I'm so pleased that you've want to recognize him and you want to bestow this honor with this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann Nelson.
May I amend that? Please. Can I add something?
Sure.
I was nervous. So the project still continues. Worldview of Global Warming still continues. I don't know how I'll be able to do it without him. I mean, there's only one Gary Brosh. But this year, there's many exhibits. And this year, I opened up an exhibit in Washington, D.C. called Climate Change in Our World. It's on exhibition now on Pennsylvania Avenue. And it will be on display until June 1st. And I invite all of you to please come to Washington, D.C. and see the exhibit. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Ann Nelson. Thank you to echo everybody's appreciation of this opportunity. And just wanted to share a few words on how Gary, in addition to Cedar and Jones' very powerful words, we had the opportunity. I was working for the city of Portland, and Portland was able to host World Environment Day in 2013. Different cities around the planet each year are chosen, and Portland was chosen. And Gary and Joan volunteered very generously their time to help organize. We had zero funding. We just had this opportunity and zero funding to highlight all the good things that happen in Oregon. And that was not hard to find many good things that were happening in Oregon. People come to visit Portland and Oregon all the time to see what we're doing, to figure out how we're meeting many benefits, to have healthy communities and healthy places to be. And Gary and Joan generously jumped in and started organizing this event. And the outcome of that was the whole world focused on Oregon for a few days in June. The Rose Festival was involved, the whole city was engaged, but because of Gary and Joan, in their expertise and their beautiful art, had the opportunity to get donated for a very high-level affair to share Gary's work and to share, we called it an innovation celebration, and just share all the good that happens in Oregon. And Gary's work, I mean, the pictures of the old-growth trees are just amazing. It's like today it reminds us of how incredibly fortunate we are to live in this gorgeous place, and his pictures really convey that. And he had some beautiful pictures of solutions that happen. So it just, a picture indeed tells a thousand words, and it was a really nice opportunity to amplify our very, very special place, and that our place is not only special to us, but the whole world really looks at how does Oregon become such a special place, and can we do that too? And Gary's work really shares our special place with the world that way. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Next we'll have Jana Gaspluin and Paige Spitz.
Okay. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jana Gastelum. I'm the Climate Program Director at the Oregon Environmental Council. Thank you so much for considering this resolution. Gary Brosh was a truly remarkable photographer who made his home here in Oregon, but was known around the world for his exquisite environmental photography. He pioneered and perfected the art of photojournalism, capturing exquisite images on all seven continents, and was the first to travel to remote areas specifically to document climate change and climate science. His photos grace the pages of many influential publications, including National Geographic, Time, Life, Scientific American, and the Smithsonian Magazine. So he's not only, I think, a very special point of pride here in Oregon, but was also just known and regarded by our global community. I first encountered Gary's work in the mid-2000s, and I remember it because it was the first time I've ever seen something that was so exquisite and so skillfully done, but also made a problem like climate change, which sometimes feels so distant. It brought it home. It made it personal. It showed the people and the places, the impacts, and then later on, a lot of the solutions that are also being pioneered here in Oregon. And so I think Gary takes what is good in the world and shares it out. And by honoring his legacy, I think we continue to promote that mission and have Oregon continue to be a source of solutions for other places and make impact beyond our own borders. Thank you so much for considering this resolution to honor his life. Thank you.
Paige.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee, thank you for considering Senate Concurrent Resolution 22. I'm the director of the Oregon Conservation...
Give your name.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Paige Spence, and I'm the director of the Oregon Conservation Network at the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. I'm very glad that the committee is considering this resolution. Gary Brash was not only an Oregonian, but he was also an OLCV member. And through his photography, he very powerfully captured our natural environment and the importance of protecting it. As we've heard, his photographs continue to draw viewers in and illustrate the beauties of the natural world and the complexities of our planet and the creatures who live in it. His work is a gift and is also illustrative of climate change impacting Oregon's snowpacks and other geological and biological features. Thank you for the time to honor his memory.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to testify? If not, we will close the hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution 22 and open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 22. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that Senate Concurrent Resolution 22 be forwarded to the floor with a be adopt recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 22 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Mm-mm. Any objections? So ordered. We will ask Senator Steiner Hayward to carry this. All right. Now we will open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 18. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Concurrent Resolution 18 designates the osprey as the official state bird. The committee held a public hearing on this measure on March 20th. There are no amendments, and fiscal and revenue paperwork indicates no impact associated with this measure.
Okay, Senator Ferrioli. Senator Ferrioli, please.
That was the call of the meadowlark. Madam Chair. I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 18 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved SCR 18 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator G. Rod will carry this. That completes our business committee. Thank you very much. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. We are adjourned. It's our business committee.